Good evening. My name is Mary Claire Lancer. Forgive the voice. My physical address is 14550 West Meadowshire Drive in New Berlin. I am the person who did community outreach and continue to do so for this project. Between November 7th and December 5th, I visited neighbors in Hawthorne, Stonehenge, and Whitnall Terrace. I knocked on 188 doors, some of them more than once, because I wanted to make sure that I saw the people who lived nearest and respectfully and completely understood their concerns. I was in some homes for an hour and a half. Of those 188 doors, I spoke with people at 131 of those. I remain available to respectfully provide information and send questions to the team, and I commit to the integrity and honesty for as long as anyone wants to contact me. And I think even people that are opposed to this realize that when I tell them something, it is the truth. However, now that a lawyer has been hired, I don't know if that communication continues that way or if communication between our team and neighbors needs to be handled through lawyers. The other thing I did after I visited residential neighbors is I visited businesses on 76th Street and on Rawson Avenue. I spoke with people at the Pick and Save Center, at Franklin Village, and again at Orchard View. Some of those I visited again today. When I visited them, I was really struck by how many seemed to be struggling. There are a lot of empty storefronts, properties in need of repair, and businesses that I was wondering if they would still be open the following week. And this didn't surprise me because when I visited nearby residents and I asked them where they shop and where they go for entertainment, usually they said Oak Creek or Wauwatosa or Brookfield. And people were saying to me, at these struggling businesses, we don't know why people aren't coming to see us. There was support for a special information meeting about Mike's plans for business owners, and they want to further understand what the city's larger plans are for this area. I'm happy to tell you that that will be held in April. Nearly all business owners expressed frustration with customer and sales numbers and strongly endorsed Mike's plans. Many business owners have invested their life savings here, hoping to make a living. One business owner that I spoke with on December 5th, I stopped back there again today, and the business was gone. Today I found support even stronger among the 23 businesses I visited. Everywhere I go, people talk about shopping local and wanting to support the quote-unquote mom-and-pop stores. We have a lot of them right here along 76th Street and Rawson Avenue trade areas. They told me that they need the vitality that Ballpark Commons would bring. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Matt Subasinski, 8750 West Hawthorne Court. I'd like to iterate a lot of things that people have said tonight. First of all, Chef Ecker, there are a lot of people here. They welcome you. You do not need a ballpark to come and survive in Franklin. You don't move here. I will book you like once a week, please.
All right.
Second of all, these are all great plans. And Mike Zimmerman does nice stuff. I mean, those ballparks he has are nice. But to build this stadium on top of a landfill, this is the wrong thing to do. They don't have approval yet from the DNR. I talked to Alderman today. There are a lot of questions that are still unanswered. To vote to approve to rezone this property is just way too fast. We should have answers before this happens. In 2012, Mike had a phase 1, 2, and 3. Hey, we thought that was great. Phase 2 and 3 never occurred. The plans changed. In 2014, he got approval for this. The plans changed again. The one common thing here is that his plans have changed over time, and they will continue to change. Even if we vote approve it tonight, this will not be what we actually see. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sobeck.
Good evening. Deborah Burgess, 7200 South Carrington Drive. Just to bring everybody up to speed regarding Ms. Lanzer's addressing the businesses here in Franklin, I know, Mr. Mayor, you were not at the Planning Commission meeting when they took the vote to bring it to the council, nor was Mr. Zimmerman. The owner of the Hampton Inn went on record at that particular meeting saying that he was opposed to the project. So just so everybody's aware of what transpired. I'd like to say I agree with all of the people who are opposed to this project who have spoken this evening. I am against the Ballpark Commons project and the rezoning, and I hope that each of you on the Common Council have listened to the majority of your Franklin constituents this evening and vote against the rezoning project. Thank you for your time and service to Franklin.
Thank you. You're correct, I was not there. However, I do see the majority owner of the Hampton Inn here, and just not up and down or left and right, Scott.
I'm for the project.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what the gentleman was in.
He's a minority owner. The reason I do that, folks, is rumors get started. Better that you have the facts on either side, either direction.
Good evening, I'm Scott Catarazzoli. I'm in the Stonehenge subdivision, 7251 South Stonehenge Drive. I'm the vice president of the association. I'm going to make it real short and just say I'm opposing rezoning this tonight, and I'd like you to table it and let's look at it at a different time. And if Mike would love to talk to us in the neighborhood, we'd love to meet with you. Okay?
Thank you.
Chairman Blavich, again.
Round two.
Round two. I only got the point one thing out. I did canvass District 2. I saw west of 76th Street. I met Mr. Lewandowski there. He can attest to it. Half the people were not at home. The other half I met, of those people, only three were for the project. Only three. I pointed out to our alderman. I think that that should stand as a correction of what you brought up. And that's the other thing. The other point of a correction I had is the gentleman who, on 76th and Rawson, has the car wash. He was the one who brought up at the Planning Commission that he did this all on his own. He did not need a fairy godmother. And that he says that anyone worth his salt is willing to put money where his mouth is, he could do it himself. He also was responsible for the Hampton Inn. And I witnessed that, and some of the other people who did too. If Mr. Zimmerman is really wanting to do this, he should be able to do this on his own dollar, not the counties, not the cities. And I think it's your responsibility to make sure that he does. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc.
Bob Simico, 8012 South 77th. As a property owner here, I can feel very sorry for all you folks in the really nice neighborhoods that I don't live in, the high-end neighborhood. We went through our little challenge about 8 years ago with some apartments that were going to be built behind us, and I really feel for you guys. But I really think as a city, we can't get in a race with Oak Creek. It's dangerous. My office is in Oak Creek. That's a great area to have the Drexel Town Square and everything, but we have to make a decision as a group of people, you know, what we want our city to be, and I think we're struggling to keep up with everybody now. And that's going to maybe lead to some bad decisions without more due diligence. We're kind of landlocked. Steve, I saw you say that at a meeting before, and I agree with that. Loomis, to build something on Loomis, the road is just kind of screwed up over there. There's really no good way to get on and off. If we're going to do something right, it's got to be walkable. I flip houses on the side with my wife. Chef, you know, because every house I flipped is about a mile from your restaurant. It's a super vital area in Wauwatosa. If we're going to keep this community good, it's going to be keeping young people coming here. We got to do something. I'm not saying this is the perfect job. I'm just saying these are great developers, though. These guys know what they're doing. Safety's got to come first. If there's methane in the ground or bad water or whatever that is, that's got to be paramount. We can't make any sacrifices on that. That's up to you guys to figure out. That's on your head if that's not right. I don't think we should get too excited about whether it's going through or not until the DNR says it's going through. And that's ultimately up to them. I think we can trust them to make the right decision on that. But I just want to say, you know, I don't want to get into a race with any other community. Our infrastructure here for downtown is non-existent. And it's going to take a lot more than just building out a dump to turn that thing around. And if you're a developer, you want to build a chain of restaurants, you're going to go down to Southridge and do it. That's where the people are. We need independent business people here, but we need young people. We got to think 5-10 years down the road. I don't see a lot of really super young families in the room here tonight. And, you know, and it, you know, it's important. That's the lifeblood of our community. We can't just all think we're going to keep it the same way because we're all going to die and be known as the suburb that time forgot otherwise. And I don't want that to happen. I own 2 houses in this community, so that's not good for me either. So anyway, just want to say, please do your due diligence. You know, I'm not a fan of baseball, but God, if I don't just stick something in it that's going to work, that's fine with me. I don't care. We have to do something. Let's just make sure we're making the right decisions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Scott Sullivan, Savannah, Illinois. I'm the owner of the Hampton Inn and Suites, and I just like to go on public record again saying I am the majority owner of the hotel and the managing member. And we came to Franklin, we saw what the Rock was, we saw what the possibilities were, and that's the reason, truly, that is the reason we bought the ground or worked with Ed to build this thing and to finish it. We were welcomed into the community. I hope after tonight I'm still welcomed into the community. A little ugly right now. But I'm not trying to make any enemies, but I will tell you, the reason that I would have not come here if that place wasn't across the street. And I'm truly not trying to make any enemies. Have a good night.
Good evening. My name is Dana Gint. My address is 9011 West Hawthorne Lane in Franklin. This project is not the right thing to do for the community. It is something that hurts many families who count on them for you to represent them. I realize that being a public servant is a difficult job, but facts are facts and math is math. This project does not work. The cost far outweighs any promised economic growth. Why is Franklin considering this project when the increased cost for taxpayers for roads, schools, emergency service will continue for decades after the baseball team leaves in 4 years or less? Franklin deserves to stay as a quiet, well-established, and beautiful residential community. No financial institution would get involved in building a stadium on a landfill with unknown contents and active methane. A landfill is not an eyesore, is it an environmental hazard? The cost of the Milwaukee County taxpayers regarding the methane gas pipeline upgrades and revisions has been costing millions of dollars so far. The newspapers report there are 303 apartments being proposed, but the developer's own submittal on page 66 states 140 luxury apartments above the commercial and retail space. This is extremely high density housing. The master plan established by the city should be followed and more beautiful, quiet homes be built next to the Stonehenge subdivision. This approach would allow our schools to better flourish and maintain their fine reputation, which helps all of us. How is it that the city has not done a proper evaluation of relevant information that the general public can find? The plan for this development keeps changing. The details need to be known. This proposal is one of the most complicated and controversial projects ever considered by the city. Why is it being rushed through this process? The developer has not even received DNR approval, nor the Milwaukee County has not followed its own due diligence ordinance involving private development on public land. Those should have been the very first steps in this process, not the last. The Planning Commission ruled on the very complicated 112-page plan with only 48 hours to review. I request you vote against revising the master plan that families trusted and planned their single most important financial investment of their lives around. You do not have the actual costs and should not make any decision in favor of this until this information is fully known. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms.
Good evening and opening, happy opening day. How potentially appropriate it is. Josh Schaub, 929 East Line, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I want to correct the record on a number of fronts. First off, when I said dog sniffing competition, I meant canine competition, just to be clear. And what I was speaking to was the depth and variance of the events that will happen, not only at the stadium, but ballpark comments. When we think about the baseball stadium, it's more than just baseball. I'm going to limit the remainder of my comments strictly to the stating the economics of that. In response to other neighbors of council regarding sports and baseball, as you may remember, my background, I've been in baseball for 10 years, both as an attorney, a law professor, and owner of a minor league baseball team, so I can speak to some expertise in this. Further, a study has been referenced a number of times here tonight regarding independent league baseball and its stability. I should note that study cites teams moving from 1980 to 1995, when in reality, independent league baseball only came to the forefront of professional baseball in 1993, so that claim lacks any merit at all. Also, I ask you to investigate independent league baseball in major league cities. In fact, over half of the four major independent leagues do exist in major league cities. Speaking specifically to the stability of the league of choice, on average, the American Association's teams have been in existence for 14 years, and that's even taking into account new expansion teams, which bring down that average number. Furthermore, regarding the study that was cited previously, affiliated economics versus independent league economics, the study cites that due to the major league teams picking up the minor league team payroll, obviously that means affiliated teams are more stable, when in fact, that same study fails to realize that 7.5% of gross incomes from affiliated baseball are paid to minor league baseball, which far outpaces the average pay to minor league baseball players. I'll speak furthermore and finally about the physical difference between independent league baseball and minor league affiliated baseball, and the differences are very few. First off, the players we're going to be playing in this stadium potentially have already gone through affiliated baseball and succeeded on many levels, including those in the Midwest League up in Appleton, Beloit, and in Kane County. In fact, many of the players you'll see, hopefully playing in the stadium, are all-stars in that league. They're tremendous players, they're professionals, and in fact, many major league teams, just because they found they were not big league players, thank you, sir, doesn't mean they were not great athletes. And you can experience that here in your community. Having minor league baseball in your community is a great thing. I've experienced it personally for 10 years, traveling to minor league baseball parks, owning my own team, being in a minor league stadium, and seeing kids come to your ballpark every night and experience the game and experience camaraderie and neighborhood values in your ballpark. And I encourage the council, I encourage the neighbors to look at minor league baseball and what it does to the communities in terms of the gatherings at the ballpark, the promotions, and all the fundraising that happens. And with that, it is opening day. And I will encourage you to vote yes tonight on the rezoning to open the day and open the future to further development and future baseball. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Hello, my name is James Posing. I live at 2913 West Woodward Drive. I don't have a horse in this race at all, but I'm sitting back here and asking myself, why don't you guys wait for this DNR report and then allow the people of Franklin on a referendum to decide whether or not they want to do this? I can't grasp. Can somebody tell me why this isn't possible, or is this thing crazy? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, this will be the last speaker.
Good, and I apologize for coming back up again, but I just thought I'd point out Justin Zelansky, 7315 South Stonehenge Drive. So this study that I referenced is this study right here by Aga in this Economic Impact of Stadium Teams, the Case of Minor League Baseball. So this study looked at 238 metropolitan statistical areas that hosted affiliate or independent minor league teams from 1985 to 2006. It covers AAA, A+, AA, rookie stadiums, and independent baseball. Just, I'll present this for the record so you guys have it. I only have one copy, so I apologize. I just want to quote what they talk about with respect to independent baseball. This is a quote. Neither independent teams nor stadiums exhibited significant economic effects. These results are not unexpected. Affiliated teams have a higher quality product, stronger team histories, increased team and league longevity, the branding benefits of affiliation, and more national media exposure. All of these factors positively affect the intent to purchase and new visitor spending. As a whole, independent teams are drastically less stable than affiliated teams, leading to lower levels of regional interest, support, and visitor spending. In the period from 1980 to 2006, independent teams stayed in their area an average of 4 years, while affiliated franchise averaged 16 years. So, again, I just encourage the council to do their own due diligence, but to the extent anyone cares, I could submit this. This is my copy.
We can give you a copy.
That's all right. I can make a copy.
Thank you. Ma'am, are you in line to speak?
Sure.
You're it. Last person.
Oh, he's here.
Second to the last person.
Good evening. Chris Laurent, 6541 Hill Ridge Drive, Greendale. My wife and I have experienced excessive noise volume every Saturday night when they've had rock concerts. Called the Franklin Police Department, Greendale Police Department, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department. Nothing was done about this. They played after 12 o'clock numerous times. I could hear every single word, every single song. Nothing was done about this. The Franklin Police Department, very professional. They came out to our house once, took noise meter readings, which were higher than the civil ordinance allows. We were told they had to reach 80. That would be me screaming in someone's face about 2 inches away. That would be 80 decibel reading. My question is, it's only going to get worse in the future once we build a stadium. Who are we supposed to call? What law enforcement agency? Because no one wants to do anything about it. And these are all rhetorical questions. And there's just so many attorneys speaking. Very well-respected attorneys. I have a question for you. Who's going to be held liable if something bad does happen, the water is contaminated, or there's a methane leak, and there's an explosion? We won't be worrying about financial. We'll be worrying about lives. You won't have a community left if that thing explodes. That's my question. Who's going to be liable?
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. I'm Bill Frausto, 3539 West Story Drive, Hidden Lakes. I just want to make something clear in my mind. I think everyone that's come up here to defend the stadium and the complex there, that's
sir,
all they talk
speak
about.
Speak into the microphone, please.
That's all they talk about. They, you know, they don't. The people that are against the whole development, you know, we're against the rezoning, but they focus in on what's there already. Well, that's really not a problem anymore. You know, it's there. And concentrate on getting that stadium area safe, where it's safe to build on it. But the main thing for the remainder of us, or the majority of us, is the rezoning, where it's going to impact all of your residents. That, I think, it, you know, they have a good point about kids playing there and, you know, maybe becoming worldwide famous, but that's two different items, I think. You know, I think there's a little bit of pork in here. You know, trying to sneak in the whole complex on this little thing. So that's just my, you know, the way I feel about it. And get that cleared up, but I'm totally against the rezoning.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, the final word.
Okay. On that note, Susan Custer, 8710 West Hawthorne Lane, for 46 years. I just thought I would bring my binder along with me tonight. Our water has been tested since 1992, since the landfill project. The methane gas was found there, and then it was capped, and they've got these wells to remove it, et cetera, et cetera. But nothing, I believe nothing should be built on top of that landfill because of the methane gas problem, which is going to come leaking down toward my house. As wonderful as a ballpark, a BMX track park, anything sound, and to the people that do use it and enjoy it, good for them. But it's going to affect me, my water, and with contamination and the methane gas. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. With that, I'm going to close the system commentary. Let's try to do it this way. Let's move on to item G1, public hearing regarding the comprehensive master plan change. And what I propose. I'm sorry, public hearing, yes. Yep. Public hearing regarding a proposed amendment to the comprehensive master plan. What I propose is the planning manager read the notice. and then take the comments that we've heard and enter them into the record as the public public hearing comments. That way we don't have to say everything again. Plus I have 30 names to read in relative to people who registered. So with that, Mr. Deedle, item D, please read the public hearing notice.
Yes, sir. The notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Monday, April 4th, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comments regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map use designations for properties located at approximately 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive and along West Rawson Avenue and West Loomis Road and West Old Loomis Road, including but not limited to 8220, 8240, 8316, and 8490 West Old Loomis Road, from residential use and transportation use to mixed use, land south of West Rawson Avenue, and to reclassify certain existing road right-of-ways transportation use to mixed use, lands north of West Rawson Avenue. With regard to the proposed Ballpark Commons sport anchored mixed use development, Greg Marcel, Zinmar Properties LLC applicant. The properties which are the subject of this application bear addresses and tax key numbers, current zoning use designations as follows: 8220 West Old Loomis Road, tax key number 755-9995-002. Zoning R3E, Suburban Estate, Single Family Residence District. 8240 West Old Loomis Road, tax key number 755-9995-001. Zoning R3E, Suburban Estate, Single Family Residence District. 8316 West Old Loomis Road, tax key number 755-9996-000. Zoning R3E, Suburban Estate, Single Family Residence District. And no address, West Rawson Avenue, tax key number 754-9988-001, zoning R3E, Suburban Estate, Single Family Residence District, and 8490 West Old Loomis Road, tax key number 754-9988-002, zoning R3E, Suburban Estate, Single Family Residence District, and one parcel located between West Crystal Ridge Drive on the north and West Loomis Road on the south, immediately south of the existing Rock Sports Complex, currently zoned B1 Neighborhood Shopping District, which does not bear a tax key number or an address, consisting of approximately 14.964 total acres of land north of West Rawson Avenue and 39.419 total acres of land south of West Rawson Avenue. That's the public hearing notice.
Mr. Deedle, in your opinion, has this been properly noticed?
Yes.
The city attorney, you concur?
Mr. Mayor, the pursuant to statute, the notice was published in the local newspaper, the Now, on March 3rd. The only difference was the location of the meeting was going to be the Franklin Common Council chambers. Subsequent thereto, in the interest of providing sufficient meeting space under circumstances, including new zoning equipment and the like that was going to encompass part of the hearing room at Franklin City Hall, which was used to accommodate extra attendees back at the Plan Commission hearing on March 17th. A decision was made to move the meeting from the Franklin City Hall Common Council chambers to Franklin Public Library. My understanding was that the Friday afternoon before last, City Hall staff and administration posted a separate note on the city website on its calendar with regard to the meeting site at a minimum, and also posted signage on the front door of City Hall at that time and throughout the bulletin board normal posting areas. I reviewed the subject matter, reviewed Wisconsin law with regard to rights and obligations expected under public notice, and reviewed it in sense of making sure that no citizens were in any way prejudiced by this change of meeting location. There's a large sign that was posted immediately in front of the front door to Franklin City Hall. I'm going to say, well, it's approximately four feet by 4 feet or more. It was printed by the Department of Public Works, visible from West Loomis Road, and it simply states Franklin Common Council meeting, and I'm paraphrasing, has been moved to the Franklin Public Library with an arrow pointing north to this building and the address. My bottom line was that notice was sufficient with those activities. Assistant planner was also present physically from 6 p.m. and I understand till 7:30 p.m. to stand out in front of City Hall to assist anybody who might have arrived there thinking that's where the meeting was. Also on top of that, I heard over the weekend that there were distribution of materials to newspaper boxes to residents in the area, and that private distribution had mentioned a 6:45 p.m. time. Staff had already recommended that the meeting not commence until 15 minutes later, just in case someone arrived at City Hall and it would take them some amount of time to reach the library. Under all those circumstances, I did propose that original scenario to the League Council, that's Wisconsin League of Municipalities Legal Council, and she agreed that that was reasonable under the circumstances and not a legal problem. So, yes, my answer is the notice was proper. Number two.
Can you repeat that?
Important stuff.
Number two, I early heard you, Mr. Mayor, say that you would just incorporate all the comments from citizen comment period and into this public hearing and then close the record. My suggestion would be it would not be comments that were totally on other subject matters other than the proposed rezoning comprehensive master plan amendment, and that's an intertwined subject matter, so I don't think there should be any legitimate objection if people are commenting on rezoning with regard to the master plan because it's relatively interwoven. But I'd recommend also ask the attendees where anybody who did not speak at citizen comment did intend to speak at this particular public hearing. And if anybody intended to say something different than they already said during the citizen comment period. And so I would suggest that action after it's open for public hearing. If there are no additional speakers, then the public hearing can be closed with the understanding of incorporating the relevant earlier comments.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. I am going to open the public hearing portion, but withhold comments from the public while several items are read into the record. So this public hearing is open. Is there a motion from the Common Council to incorporate the comments from the citizen comment period as part of the record of this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Second item I need to take care of is on the way in, several people registered either their opposition or their support of the project via written notes. I'll ask the Director of Administration to quickly read them into the record.
I was handed a printer hallway, my job.